Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Roleplay Swan Song. It's been, I think, 2 weeks since the recap episode. If you're not cut up yet, it's been like 3 months since we last played, so I don't know what the fuck you're doing. You are actually fucking up if you're not cut up.
They are fucking up.
They are fucking up. We talked to us about traffic.
You know, I didn't believe them. I admit when I'm wrong, JP, didn't believe them. I'm like, what? I mean, the Super Bowl... It's going to be in San Francisco. Like, really? Is that, like, you know, it's going to fuck up my commute and stuff? Is that really possible? Like, what are people on the outskirts and then coming in? Yes, they are. They're everywhere. They NFL, man. It's the NFL experience. There's the fucking Super Bowl city. There's fucking I'm hearing, and this could all be, you know, just like the buzz rumor or whatever, but I'm hearing like people are paying thousands of dollars for Airbnb rooms for a night
and
high thousands of dollars. Yeah, like, wow. I've never experienced this before, man. Remember, I'm from Nebraska, and the Super Bowl doesn't come to Nebraska, guys. So, you know, yeah, when there is a Nebraska football game. A little known fact is that the stadium itself becomes like the third largest city in Nebraska, but that's about it. That's when you go shopping because everyone's at that fucking stadium.
Sure.
The game's not even in San Francisco. That's the crazy part too. They're just there to congregate.
Yeah, that sounds about fun.
Stadium's like, it's like a 45 minutes south of San Francisco.
Oh.
But there's so much shit happening. You know, in the city. So there you go. That's what you need to know about San Francisco when the Super Bowl is less than 50 miles away.
Yeah.
From San Francisco.
That sucks. Are you even going into work tomorrow?
What?
Are you like going into work every single day, so you're just gonna fight it?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a warrior, JP.
Passion overwhelming.
Yeah.
Battle time.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Anything else, Wheat, that you've been up to? You weren't at PAX. You were on a cruise with Jeff. You guys can talk about that a little bit.
Oh, man. I mean, like, which story do you want to hear? I'm sure the best story is probably better told by Jeff than it's told by me. Only because, you know, Jeff, do you know what I'm talking about? which one? I seem to recall that you were just talking about passion overwhelming. You know, there's a little balcony moment.
Yeah, that is the best. Marcus had a little bit of a triple rainbow moment in time where, like, this guy, man, there's a few things that get him really excited. I found out that he fucking loves beans. He loves celery. Okay, and we were, like, at these super mega restaurants, which we'll talk about in a second.
You went to Remy, which is what I want to hear about.
That was amazing. But Marcus is just... He's got a lot of passion in that man. But one morning I woke up and I hear, "Dolphin! Dolphin! Dolphins are out! Dolphin! Dolphin!" Just losing it. But there was no, like, I thought someone was dying because it was just so, it was the most, if you've ever heard someone snap mentally, that's horrifying. That's really scary. That was not that what this is. This was a man not caring. Just like, he's just like burst into flames of happiness and joy. Like, "Dolphin!" And he did. He saw a pack of dolphins flopping around outside the boat.
Fucking jumping in the waves, you guys. One was an adult dolphin. The other one was just like a kind of small cub, pup, whatever small dolphin is. Maybe just a small
baby dolphin.
Baby dolphin. Thank you, Steven, the expert on dolphins. I've been on three cruises and I've stared out into the ocean. Just wait. I've seen some fucking flying fish, and that's like whatever.
Boring as
but
shit.
But like I was out there, and this is what really got me going, is that I was sitting on that chair going, I'm fucking staring out in this ocean and I'm never gonna see a fucking goddamn, what's that, what, holy oh fuck, dolphin, there's two dolphins out. Fucking everyone ran to the veranda. Don't forget about that. Anna was a little bit sick, and she was like, I don't care how sick I am. I'm going to go see these dolphins. And dolphins gave us a show, man. It's fucking awesome.
that there was worth the price of admission for me.
That's awesome.
There was plenty of other things, obviously, but that was good. My only other story, and then, you know, whatever, I'll shut the fuck up. We took Wave Runners to Stingray City. And
sounds like a horrible
place.
Yeah,
this sounds like a fucking...
I would say way away from that place.
First, they're standing on a reef in the middle of the ocean. So they're standing in 4 feet of water, but everywhere around them is just the fucking ocean.
Yes. Yeah.
It's horrifying.
Fucking awesome. And you know, I mean, especially people who have watched my stream before, like, they know water just fucking horrifies me in video games. So people were like, how is it, you know, how do you swim in the ocean? I really don't know where the mental disconnect is there, but it's been great. We went out on our Wave Runners to Stingray City with no shit, like anywhere from 1 to 3 to 6 foot waves. It was just all over the place. And I've done Wave Runners on the lakes and rivers, and I have never experienced anything like that, which normally you could totally not a big fucking deal. But when you just have salt water like fucking blasting into your eyes and they sting and you can't see and your nose is running and your throat is starting to swell and it's horrible. It's like, wow, this is a totally crazy experience. But the thing that topped it all off is, of course, watching, you know, actually watching my wife and even Jeff's wife and like just totally freaking out over the amount of stingrays there were. They had every right to. They were fucking everywhere. It was crazy.
How many are we talking? Like, paint a picture.
Paint a picture? So at any given time, these giant waves would come up. And again, these were like 6 foot, 7 foot waves that would just like roll through Stingray City. The thing is like when it's calm, you just stand there. And it's all good, right? Like, you can avoid them, or that you're just – you're not actually even supposed to avoid them. Like, just let them do their thing. They're just going to swim by or whatever. They're not going to try to eat you or anything. But when you're in a giant wave that fucking picks you up, you damn well might land on a fucking stingray, right? Because your feet aren't planted on the ocean floor anymore. So, like, it became like suddenly everyone just like grabbed on to someone else to try to like create some weight and just kind of ride out the wave. And so around you, there would be 10 to 12, and a big wave could bring 20 around you immediately.
Jeez. And they're huge.
And these are like small. Yeah, these are like these guys to like these guys, just fucking monster. It's awesome, though. I mean, like, they go there every day to be fed by humans who are like on cruises who just want to feed them squid. So they got the good life. They're not there to, you know, unless you like kick one or
put a stinger through someone's heart. You know what I mean?
They're totally not. Yeah. They're totally not.
Their whole thing. Let me understand here. So their whole thing is like you go and you stand on a reef and a bunch of stingrays come and like hang out around you.
Yeah,
and they call this place Stingray City.
Stingray City. I mean, it sounds like a Shadowrun bar, right?
Some fucked
like,
up shit.
Can we throw that into Mearshade? Stingray City. Stingray. I feel like
the high noon train to Stingray City.
So we're on our way back, and the two guys you're with, they're like, okay, let's go see some starfish, and we go and we see starfish, and they're everywhere. They pull them out, and what I don't.
What was that accent? Where was that person you go see impersonators from?
Yeah. I assure you, that wasn't it.
What?
All right, so after Stingray,
I was doing
like
a
our
Disney
starfish
character, Adam, all right? I don't know who our
I
guide
just don't
was.
I don't understand, yeah.
They go, anyway. they're like, okay, we're going to go. And they are starting to point over towards this giant storm that is like forming in, you know, right out there in the ocean. And Bart from Hi-Rez, if anyone knows who Bart from Hi-Rez is, if you ever met Bart, he's like, hey, can we just go ahead and drive through that? And the guys were like, okay, let's go. And my wife actually went like, he's joking, right? And we all just took off towards this storm, like right into the center of the storm. And when we got in it, you couldn't see anything around you. It was totally gray. It started raining, ice pellets, like it felt like horrible. But then once you started going, it was awesome. It was like warm rain, warm water, seawater in your face, 6 foot waves. Again, I paid to like drive a Wave Runner to Stingray City, and I got so much more. So it was great. And we bailed in the middle of the ocean hard. It was fucking awesome. Jaws could have just killed me at any time. It was crazy.
Nice. That sounds
fantastic. They should use that as promo for the cruise.
You're really selling me on this cruise, Wheat. I really want to go.
Yep.
Yeah. I feel like you guys are on board with me because this story is very funny from my perspective. Like, Anna at one point was like, "Hey, Jeff, do you want to ride Ski-Doos on this cruise?" And I was like, "Yeah, sounds amazing. I love Ski-Doos." She's like, "Cool." Then we get on the boat, and they're like, "So what are we doing tomorrow?" And Anna, I think, didn't want someone to say what they were about to say. They're like, "Oh, we're going to ride Ski-Doos out into this reef, stand on it, and have stingrays swim amongst us." And I was like, "What?" I was like, "No, I'm not doing that." And she's like, "Honey, you already paid for it." I'm like, "Well, that's fine. We'll take the loss. That's a nightmare. That sounds like an absolute fucking nightmare." So I stayed back, and I read and ate food and just had this really lovely, relaxing time. And then they all get back.
Else. Yeah.
They get back like they were survivors of an apocalyptic event. Like, nobody was smiling. Nobody was happy. They were all like, "Chuck, you made the right choice."
Second.
You might have loved every second, but you were tired as fuck.
Oh, I was. It was a rough day.
Everyone was sore, tired.
Awesome.
The girls were terrified because they did. And it's so funny, too, because it's not just that let's ride into the storm, and they all rode in the storm. The front guide stopped, went back to the back guide, and they talked in, you know, Jamaican or whatever it was, and they're like, all the white people will die. And they're like, "Oh, yeah, they're like," and then they circled around the group and were like, "Stay in the middle. We will protect you." And Anna was a, like, 10-year lifeguard, and this is actually, I love her to death, but and her brother and her best friend were all lifeguards. I was not a lifeguard. So there's been numerous times in our life where, like, they get into uber serious lifeguard mode. They're like, "We are protectors of life." And this is one of them. Anna, like, went back there with them and tried to listen in on what they were saying and, like, what the game plan is, and has a very serious look on her face. And then, like, for the rest of the ride, she rode, like, standing up, like, uber serious, like, protecting people, like, "Put your face into the wind. We'll survive." Like, you know, just mega serious. So they all came back, though, and everyone except for Marcus was like, "You made the right choice, Jeff. You would not have enjoyed that."
It was rough. It was rough.
Stingrays are like aliens, guys. They're like real.
I think I fought some stingrays in XCOM earlier, so
you probably
confirm.
Did.
this story is fucking nonsense, is what it is. Out in the middle of the ocean,
standing
on a reef with the ocean around you, riding Ski-Doos through the waves into the storm. That's fucking ridiculous, Jeff. You and me, man, all the way.
What?
And I love that I finally got to a place where I'm very comfortable being like, "No. Not doing that." As a kid Jeff did a lot of stupid shit because everyone was like, "Oh, come on, just do it." And I'd be like, "Okay." And then, like, the fucking inner tube would go below the water and I'd be like holding on for dear life because I'm terrified of the ocean and I almost drowned. It's awesome.
Dude, I had my 10-year-old and my wife strapped to me as well. So, I mean, talk about a thrilling adventure on the ocean. Like,
Dusty says exciting, like putting your family
through
great
peril.
You're
like, "I appreciate life so much. Like, that was a great excursion on this cruise."
You were willing to go because you had two extra lives, whereas Jeff only had one.
Right.
There you go.
Someone talk to me about Remy. I want to hear about Remy.
I mean, you've heard me talk about Jeff. Go.
Yeah, it's a French restaurant. It's a Michelin 3-star chef, and then the other one is, and he won, by the way, best chef in France. And France is like, I think he won best chef in France 2015, and France is the culinary capital of planet Earth.
Exactly. Yeah.
You think they care about their food in France? They do. It's true.
So there's no way to really. It's just like it is every stereotype you imagine. Like they come over. It's a French waiter. He pulls off the lid, describes all the food, talks about how it's from some back county, you know, village over in south of France.
As you do, yeah.
It's cured. And, like, it's just, like, it's all ridiculous stuff. Very small portions, but it, like, the flavor and the mixture of flavor that you get from it is ridiculous. It's everything you can imagine. Like, we've all seen the movies where they eat at the mega restaurant. This was exactly that. Like, while overlooking the ocean in this quiet, demure, just gorgeous French, everything was so fucking French. One funny experience I had with it was kind of halfway through the meal, they bring over a guy that pushes a cart and has like all of these cheeses because the French love their cheese.
Yeah.
And it's some of the most exotic and weird shit, but you of course want to sample it because, again, when are you ever going to have this opportunity to, like, it's like this cheese was brought out, it's aged 80 years or some shit, like just crazy stuff. But Anna doesn't eat cheese, so they brought a plate over, and it's just me and Anna, and I'm like,
my time has come.
Don't put too many out there. I'm not going to be able to eat all that. And I just cut all this fucking cheese, and
yeah, they're like, I didn't hear that. Fuck that. You're eating all this shit, or you're not.
I'm a pretty adventurous eater, but some of those cheeses, man, were beyond my scope. Like,
just really pungent, or what?
Very pungent, but very, like, I feel like one of the strongest flavors you can ever experience is from a cheese. I do think so. Like, one of them I swore tasted like a barn, and I don't mean that, like,
that's a real thing.
I tasted, like, horse, goat, sheep, and goat, yeah.
Goat cheese does that, yeah.
Goat
cheese is delicious.
Are you a blue cheese fan? Jeff,
I am, but their blue cheese is like a tier above. It was
intense as fuck, right? Yeah. Let me tell you that only did I enjoy it after my wife got a $70 glass of port that was from 1963, and then I was like, oh my god, it is actually the most amazing thing I've ever eaten. Of course, it took a $70.
Yeah.
Fucking
glass of port
to make that happen. Really, crazy.
They have like figs. They have a jam. I found that if you mix the cheese with something else, it's actually really good.
Charcuterie is the shit. That's the whole point, right? You get a bunch of like different stuff.
So, just an incredible experience. My dinner was Wagyu beef, but the actual surprise, and I've been spoiled. I've had this a few times, so that was incredible. But not mind-blowing, but they actually made this, like, I don't even know how to describe it. It was like a beef, kind of like a wonton, like an open wonton, but it was the mixture of flavor and just how intense it was ridiculous. So, it's one of those things where, like, kind of like when I went and coached that prince in Dubai, like, I flew first class. I had to be very conscientious that this is a one-time experience, be like, don't let this ruin everything forever. Like,
yeah,
the service was ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous.
Yep.
I didn't wear a jacket, and they were like, do you have a jacket? And I was like, yeah, in my room. Do you want me to go get it? And they're like, no, just wear this one. We just need you to wear it to your chair. They wanted me to wear the jacket to the chair, and then
Michelin star restaurants don't fuck around, especially 3-star. Like,
yeah.
Yep.
What I want to do is there's a test where if you go to a Michelin 3-star restaurant, you take your knife, and you just put it on the floor, and you count the seconds to see how long it takes them to notice, and two, bring you a new one.
I wish I would have done that, JP, because I think you would have been impressed. I mean, like, imagine, and
it's usually like 5 or 6 seconds.
Like, Jeff's might have been, he had the same thing where, like, you know, they do not present the food one at a time. They present it in unison with, like, a gracefulness. And so we actually went with, like, 7 people. And to see, like, 7 people sort of, I don't even magically know what appear. It was. Like, they literally were sort of, like, moving in a magical way.
Oh, yeah.
Coming down. Boom.
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, and shoo.
They rehearse putting plates on tables.
You know what's crazy is I had foie gras or whatever it's called.
Foie gras,
Which is
foie gras.
Yeah, gave him the foie gras.
All right. Yeah, let's laugh at Jeff because there's another fucking. All right. Anyways.
No, it's funny. I want to call it foie gras from now on.
Yeah, it's foie gras. I love it. I'm into
it. So for those of you that don't know what that is, like, Anna's like, oh, wow. And I was like, what? She's like, I'll tell you after. So I ate it and she said, that is a duck that had its liver overloaded until it exploded in its body.
They're force-fed,
It was force-fed until the liver gets crazy.
But Jeff, I got to ask, was it good?
It kind of was, but to be honest, because I was like, no, tell me. She told me, and I'm not like a big food activist or anything like that, but that was, it actually affected. Like, I did not, if you don't know that and you're eating it, I think you'd really enjoy it. But after you do know that, there's a little bit of you that's like, fuck.
There's I forget the name of the restaurant. There's a place in Montreal, Jeff, that serves. The entire thing is basically like mission style food, but just like decadent, just like stupidly overdone. So they serve chicken in between two pieces of foie gras, like a double decker. And then the chicken's wrapped in bacon or some shit like that.
That's a lot of meat.
But it's just, they serve nothing short of just like, this is probably the most decadent thing you're ever going to eat.
That's a fairly like popular thing, especially now in big cities like LA and New York. They'll have like restaurants that are like, it's like macaroni and cheese, but with like black truffles and powdered gold. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Right. Cool. Yeah. I deserve to add gold on it.
A lot of people do gold flakes now. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall it was good, Jeff.
Oh, it was incredible. It was just, and we didn't do the test like Marcus said, but I think they would have passed flying colors. Like, they were just, every time my water was empty, boom, filling it up every time.
They would not let
you to the bathroom too. Like, they fucking walked her there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. They ran after, I think, like Rachel. They were just like, oh, like, yeah, they fucking were like, that's
I wonder how many people eat there that aren't like, of that, I don't want to say culture, but understand like what's going on from their point of view.
Dude.
And they're just like,
fucking
these fucking idiots don't even appreciate what we do. Like, what? These
That's actually
morons.
Cruises in a nutshell, man. Like, there's a lot of people, less here, I felt, but I've heard stories. But even here, there's a lot of people that are like, well, for a decent price, I can eat as much food as I want for a week.
Yeah.
And that's why they do cruises, man. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. By the way, Steven, the name of that place is Joe Beef. I'm sure you've heard of that restaurant.
Yeah, Joe Beef is good.
You should go if you haven't been.
I should go. I have never been.
Yeah, and then go to Le Mioc also in Montreal.
Nice.
You should go there. It's good. Anyways, you guys were on a cruise. That's what you guys have been up to. Steven, Adam, and I were at PAX.
Hell yeah.
Doing the PAX South stuff.
Watched a lot of the panel. Good job, guys. It was fun.
Yeah,
it was a good PAX.
It was a lot of fun. Are you guys sick, Steven and Adam?
I was sick before, and by the time I like got on the plane to leave, I was feeling fine. I got all my sick out of the way.
I don't think I'm sick, but I think that I just lost my voice and I haven't let it recover. So
it was everywhere.
Keep talking.
Everywhere
I'm gonna go get my dinner.
I was gonna say basically everywhere that we were, and I don't know if this was the same for you, Steven, but like it was loud as fuck. Like if you're on the convention floor, you're talking to people. If you're like all the restaurants were loud, and then all the parties were super loud, and I felt like such an old ass man the whole time. Where I was just like, "This is loud. I hate this. Can we go somewhere else?"
That was basically most of my conversations at the parties.
You end up fucking sitting in a Whataburger, being like, "That's better, Jesus Christ."
Yep, I love hearing that though. That's how I am too.
Every
fucking event, they're like, let's go party and let's go to a bar that's super mega loud. I'm like, I want to sit in my hotel.
I think the trouble is that the big parties don't have like side areas. This is why people used to smoke cigarettes, right? Because you'd go to the party and it'd be like, this is so loud and awesome. And then you'd be like, let's go outside. And you go outside and have a cigarette and you're like, so really, what's going on?
Yeah, 15 minutes later, talk shop.
15 minutes later, you're like, all right, let's get back in there. And then it's all crazy to that party again. But, you know, now we know that she'll kill you. So we just hang out in the party. And it's like, it's allowed. What are we going to do? But PAX South is a special place. It's cool. It was my first year. I'd never been to Texas before. And I feel like the PAXes really need to start, like, chaining themselves this way and shutting down the big ones and just opening new ones and just being the, like, five-year PAX roadshow.
Always being, like, a small PAX.
Yeah, just, like, five years, 6 years, whatever max per PAX at any given time. Just move that shit around because, it like, having a PAX, how long has South been going? 3 years?
2 years.
Two. This is his second year.
It was only the second year, and it was so nice. It was great. It was, like, it felt like a PAX, but it wasn't, like, prime where you're just, like,
it was
chill.
It was much smaller than the other PAXes I've been to. I've been to Easton Prime. So PAX South was like much smaller. The floor was smaller. Like there wasn't nearly the size of like a tabletop section as there was. But it felt somehow like way more personable and personal. Like there were like because it was smaller, there were more people there who would just like talk to you. I don't know. It felt chill and relaxed. And like I wasn't busting my ass everywhere.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I went in the first year. It's really nice.
Yeah. Guys, two things just happened that are very important in my life. One, twitter.com/worldstar just followed me on Twitter, so that's really fucking cool.
Oh, shit.
And two, I just ordered a brookie from Papa John's. I've never had one of these.
I have no idea what that is. It looks like a pie.
A brookie is a pizza cookie with brownies.
I read a brownie pizza cookie.
as the like filling.
Oh my god!
So basically, each one of these is about 800 calories. I'm gonna have a good night. That's my night.
You're gonna be too full to move and be so energized that you won't know what to do with yourself.
Yeah, he'll just be vibrating on the floor.
I like that image.
Yep.
JP up to 5 a.m.
Chill ass JP vibrating on the floor,
vibrating out of control.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was so. Yeah, PAX South was good. I think I just submitted Adam. Since you reminded me this morning, I submitted Swan Song for a panel at PAX East. So hopefully everyone's going to PAX East.
An evening with Swan Song, because that shit was hilarious, and I had a great time.
It was. God, it was amazing. It was like simultaneously fantastic and super awkward, and it was super great. I was really happy with how it came off. I think there's some great things that Adam and I will have to have like brain powwows about before the next panel. But it was super good. If you didn't watch the Roleplay West Marches panel from PAX East, or PAX South rather, JP, do you have a VOD on YouTube?
Yeah, it's on YouTube, yeah.
It's on JP's YouTube. You should definitely go watch it. It was super good.
Yeah, I've already got a Google Doc that says how to do a panel better than Steven with several bullets.
Well, I imagine that you probably had that for a long time.
Like I know it was how to do a panel.
You were just kind of
it says
waiting.
Now it says how to do a panel better.
Jeff, you would have liked this. Yeah. They passive aggressively and doublespeak started saying who's the better GM live on stage.
That was so good. It took Adam so long to figure out what was going on. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Once I realized, though, it was on.
It was good.
Yeah, it was really good.
I'm sad I missed that. No, I thought you did a good job, and I think the toughest part about that is that you had like 8 fucking people up on that stage. Like that's
Well, yeah. God, like when I asked, I was like, "So how many people in this audience have never seen West Marches?" Like half the audience raised their hands. I was like, "Fuck."
Yeah, that was weird. Like it was also cool, but it was weird because we didn't know how those people were gonna. One of the reasons I saw that, and I was just like, good luck, Steven. I'm going to go sit down
follow
now.
Up
thanks,
with
JP.
How many people are like, role? Like, were they there just because it was roleplay?
No, there's two words that answer that question. Dodger fans.
I mean, that's kind of true.
Like, there were a lot of each, and I mean that, I'm just picking on Dodger, but I mean that in terms of, like, each person on the stage had their own fan base that's
right.
Like, I love all the stuff you do. This is a panel you're on? You're funny?
I've never seen a show, but fuck it.
Yeah.
Totally.
Because
I had a ton of
people come up after the fact and were like, I never even heard about this West Marches thing before. That was really funny.
Yep.
Who are you people? Like, where do I watch you? It was really cool.
Like 10 people come up afterwards being like, I've never watched this show. That was amazing.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit. There was like someone on the JP subreddit who was like, I posted my thoughts, my like debrief of the panel. And then someone came on the JP subreddit being like, I've never watched the show before. And this was amazing. And now I'm going to watch it.
I think it's a lot of the
nice
to really get into. I think it's Acquisitions Incorporated is such like a mainstay at PAX. Like,
yeah,
there's so many fans of that don't know about other role like shows that deal with D&D and stuff like that. So
yeah.
When something like that pops up, they're just like, let's go look at this because it's Saturday night at 9:30.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this about PAX before, but like PAX audiences in general have this tendency to just get stoked about whatever is at hand. Like doing the Dungeon World Burning Wheel booth at PAX East, people would come by all the time and be like, what's this? I'm like, these are role-playing games. So like, what the fuck is that about? And I'm like, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Have you played Dungeons & Dragons? They're like, nope.
What's
but they're
that?
Just like they're excited. Yeah, they're just really excited to like see what is going on. So it was cool. So even if we had a bunch of people that were like,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on. It's nice to have them. Well, and cool now stuff. They only have several thousand hours of back content to watch. Right. So there you go.
That's true. All right. Well, we hit 30 minutes in. It's
guys,
been
one more. One
go
more
ahead.
Thing.
But it's been two Can months. I... Week. The people want. Some
I know.
New stuff.
I know. I just has anyone else been? I'm sorry. I feel like it's kind of bandwagon. Anyone?
Playing the
anyone
witness?
Else? Played The Witness.
I've been watching you. I will never play it.
And it's playing like, motion sick.
Isn't it like 80 hours long?
It's not that long. It's pretty long, though. If you do every puzzle, I think it's 700 puzzles.
Jesus.
Get the fuck out of here.
I won't say anymore. I'd say fucking awesome.
That's pretty good.
It's totally already blown my mind like 5 times.
Playing a puzzle game is a lot like hitting your head into a wall. For fun.
It's a different type of puzzle game, man. It's hard to
It's kind of Myst inspired, right?
I mean, Jeff, on one hand, playing XCOM 2 is kind of like a puzzle
game. Absolutely.
So
only the puzzle sometimes kicks you in the dick.
Right, right. It's like, hey, what's up, Crit? Fuck you.
This makes sense. Dude, I love that little GIF, JP, or video, or whatever the fuck. All three emotions in one moment. You're like, ha ha, you missed. Like, God damn it.
Oh, yeah. No, that was good. That was good. I enjoyed that. Fuck XCOM, though.
Dude, I've been that excited for a video game in a long time. I'm so excited.
This last thing I'll say, and then we'll actually start playing. I'm sorry. I was not joking. It's so much harder when you start out.
That's like, amazing. Because like the beginning of XCOM is really difficult.
It's really difficult. I'm not even playing on the hardest difficulty. It's the second hardest difficulty. Like
that's what I'll play on.
Yeah.
The hardest is actually impossible, like any time.
It is, yeah. It's really fucking hard. And there's a lot of things, too, that I'm still, like, learning, because you start in stealth this time, and you can, like, move around and stuff like that and set up ambushes, but, yeah, it's a lot of fun. You're going to have a lot of fun.
I'm really glad, because I watched your stream for a little bit, because I really am trying to avoid all this, because I want to experience it myself, but I like, because at first they were advertising that you could see where you're being revealed, and that's the lower difficulties. That's so not XCOM, but watching you play it was exactly XCOM. It's great.
That was good. All right, Adam, good luck trying to bring us back in after 2 months.
GLHF.
Well, I mean, the first thing to attend to, I think, is the state of the Swan herself.
Oh, she's fine.
So
I remember that distinctly.
Yeah, I mean,
everything is great with the Swan.
This would be the okay. We've been on the like whatever summer break, and we're returning to the show, and you know we get the post credits fade up on just the chaos and like blood stained floor and smoke and fire and screaming and like
there's like an impromptu medical bay like erected over on the side.
Yeah, the bay where the Swan Song was set up looks like a war zone. There's like obvious damage. It looks like there's been a fairly severe like bombing or something in this area, and the Swan Song is in the epicenter of it. You know, a lot of the debris has been cleared. Obviously, the area there's like you said, like a triage station set up. Though, because this is Vinaya and it's there's no like charitable organizations on this planet. It's a pay as you go, emergency center. I want to know where y'all went after that chaos, after that happened. Like, did you try to go into hiding and like abandon the Swan Song, or like what's your bug out plan when shit goes this bad?
I think it's
primarily, but like
kill everyone, else, right? Like, that stands right
yeah,
away.
Yeah, do you just want to destroy the whole planet? Okay, yeah. All right. So what's stage one of kill everyone on this planet?
I think it just comes one at a time. And we just kind of shoot them.
Well, I think.
Okay. All right. Get out your D20s. Let's go. Roll to hit. Just only have to do like 8 million times.
I think when things go this bad for Eric, he just like hops like a freighter to another planet, finds some small merchant ship, and signs on to work with them. So, you know.
See you later, everybody. No, so the thing is, like, it's interesting thinking about a situation like this. Like, if a bomb went off in, like, a first world country, there would be, like, police and military, and the fucking FBI would be all over that shit. And in this case, though, there is no overarching planetary government. There's people who own this area. There are people who are injured and want reparations. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on, but it's happening a lot more subtly. It's sort of all under the surface. Nobody gets arrested because that's not really how it works. There's no cops. So you do have the opportunity while there's still, like, some chaos going on to affect an escape or to whatever. But like Higgs, you've been in bad situations like this before where things go south.
Well, didn't we end last episode with Higgs reaching out to someone and saying send them or whatever?
Yeah, like we were gonna go have a talk with basically Pi had me at gunpoint and Pi said like we need to do something, and then I said, well, let me introduce you to someone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like right where we left off. So did that meeting happen?
I think that Pi went to that meeting, but that you might not have been invited to it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that Pi's body, the body that Piani made for them, went like got some information and went somewhere, and was basically just like, "I'll be home when I'm home,"
the former bounty hunter, the Warbots or whatever, are marginally or whatever under, they're under Pi's control, and so they'll serve you. They're not they don't have the full intelligence that Pi does, but if you tell them what to do, you know, they'll escort you places and help you do things like lift stuff, and they're basically they just labor robots right now.
I'm actually curious, does anybody have a cultural role that might tell us if we could like talk our way out of it, or be like, this guy was a bounty hunter who was trying to kill us and so we killed him instead? Like, this place was kind of like a, you know, America 10,000, right? Like super ultra freedom, everybody for themselves, government's not gonna mess with
anything. What's the situation, Adam? Like, do they know it came from our ship? Do they,
so
no, are we under heat from the police?
Only Eric right now, only Eric knows the sort of true reality of the situation, right? So okay. you created this improvised explosive psychic device in an attempt to attack Bowman, the bounty hunter. Yeah. Bowman. There was a mishap, it went off, the rest of the supply of crystals exploded in your ship, blew a big hole in the swan song. It just looks to the outside that either like a bomb went off in the swan song, or it was attacked, or like yeah. something happened, but it's obviously like if a forensics team gets in there, they'll be able to tell there was an explosion from the inside of the ship.
So I just want to throw this out there before I guess we get too far, is that like if there was even a notion that we would have to abandon the swan song, then I would immediately be concerned with what is going to happen with Pi.
Yeah.
Or what I would need to do if I thought we were going to have to abandon that ship.
Yeah. So I guess my question is like, does someone have like a safe house they go to? Do you go to Rajani and are like, hey, buddy, we need some help hiding out? Like,
she's so helpful and friendly with us.
Yeah.
I mean, how as bad is it? Like, is it extremely dire situation?
In what sense?
Will she ever fly again?
Like,
yeah, the ship's infrastructure isn't like ruined. The spike drive didn't get damaged. Because if the spike drive had been damaged, that would have been like some ground zero, like nuclear explosion shit. But
right,
the crystal, the spare crystals that Eric had exploded. The shielded container is still somewhere on the Swan Song, like it's in the cargo area. The ship itself is badly damaged enough that it can't leave. I mean, you wouldn't even want to like take off, right? Because you don't know what kind of subsystems are still functional. It'll never
a gaping hole in the side.
Yeah, it has a huge asshole in the side. You can't make it. It's not space worthy. It's certainly not even sky worthy. The other systems, you'll need to like look at them and check them out to see if they're damaged. Getting them to a trained mechanic to have a look at that would be a way to know. But from the outside, it looks pretty damn fucked up. There's also the question of Bowman's ship, the Fulminate Blade. It's shut off. It's in some kind of like self-secured shutdown after Bowman's death at the hands of the robot Pi. Yeah. So it's there, but it's shut off.
Well, I think Higgs would have tried to sell that other ship, or if he can't get it working or get into it, he would have tried to sell it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like if there's nobody like running to arrest us, I feel like we're not necessarily the type to like look at an accident we caused that's not completely obvious we caused it and then run away. I feel like we'd be more likely to like try to figure out a way to deflect blame or something like that. I don't know. I mean, if nobody else really understands what happened, then Eric's not going to tell anybody, but he's definitely going to go back to his like data pad and be like, teleporting with crystals in teleport space. Must study further.
Right.
In okay. fact, maybe I'm actually gonna like send an email to one of my friendly contacts.
So I guess where are y'all doing this from? Because it's not on the Swan Song. Because the Swan Song is potentially like leaking radiation, and it's not like an okay place to just hang out on, really.
Okay. All right. I'll just ask the simplest question I should. Yeah, I yeah. can ask. Should I like? What the fuck? If I feel like I'm going to lose the computer or the core or whatever, like, do I know that if just Pi is in his body, I am okay? I mean, Adam, I played Soma right now. I'm kind of like I'm freaking out a little bit. If you,
I would say without a sufficient Maltech skill, there's no way to know how unbraked AI's intellect's matrix works. Like, you can guess, the most powerful computer around, as far as Pi goes, is the Swan Song. You definitely know that the body itself doesn't have a powerful enough system to maintain Pi, because you had to upgrade the ship just to keep Pi going. Losing control of the ship at the least would potentially expose Pi's existence to people that you don't necessarily want knowing that Pi is unbraked and around. So you'll want to keep an eye on it. Don't just like turn it over to somebody or like take it to a scrapyard or something.
All right. Well, then I'm going to try to get in their ship. I'm going to try to get in the other ship.
Okay.
By get in, you mean like crack the security?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, like, I've got to figure out a way to get Pi off the Swan Song.
Okay.
I guess Eric might, like, sort of take charge of whatever sort of people are trying to come, like, inspect the damage to the Swan Song and be, like, you know, trying to divert people. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of at the on ramp or whatever, standing there. I've got like my toolkit like open next to me, just trying to look like an official like head of repairs kind of person.
Okay,
Kiska, come here.
So, I guess then you're all just like around the two ships, because they're not that far apart, and you haven't left the scene. You've just been there since the incident. Okay.
I mean, like,
I do want to grab my data pad from my room, though.
Okay, so you made a point of like,
I'm gonna like the ship. Run in, grab some stuff, bring it outside, like set it down in like, you know, my space suitcase, and yeah.
Okay, so you're outside, sitting around, trying to look like somebody who belongs there, after a while, somebody. Somebody comes over to you or starts walking towards the Swan Song. He's in his probably like early 30s. Looks to be Indian. He's wearing a kind of expensive looking gray suit. And he's carrying a data pad. And there's someone with him. There's a woman a little younger wearing slightly less professional clothes. Like she's wearing like a button-up shirt and like jeans. And she's got a camera. Like a still camera, I guess, or a 3D still camera, and she's following him, and they're talking, and they're definitely like on their way towards you.
Towards me,
like the ship, yeah, because you're around the ship.
Yeah, is there anybody else near me?
I don't know. You could be around Alpharius.
Swan Song crew.
Yeah,
sure.
Because I assume Higgs and Piani are on the Fulminate Blade, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know what about Higgs.
Well, I would probably try, or I think that Higgs would be trying to contact the Luminary to just see like what happened. He's super suspicious of all that.
Okay. Sure.
But yeah, that's what Alpharius and Eric are doing.
Okay. So, so Eric, you see these two people walking over.
Okay.
I'm just going to wait for them to approach.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, I try to look official. I try to make myself look, you know, like, we have the situation under control.
Okay. You say that to him?
Yeah. Like, probably, like, before they even say anything, I'm like, yeah.
Okay. All right. So he stops, and he says something to the woman next to him in, like, Hindi. And then to you, he takes out a card out of his pocket. He hands it to you, and it says R. Patil, and it has the, like, obvious Sunbeam Omnistellar Limited, like, logo on it.
Yeah.
And he works, like, for the Vinaya office. Mm-hmm. And he says, is this your ship, sir?
I am the chief engineering officer on board of this vessel, yes.
He looks at it, and he says, is the captain around? And so while he's talking, the woman, she's taking photos of the ship.
Yeah. Hold, please.
And I just turn to the side and I say, Captain, are you around?
No, he's not around. Can I take a message? Yes, I'll give him your card. Thank you very much.
So he says, he nods and he says, we'll need to speak with Captain Kovacs as soon as is possible, please. You don't mind.
Captain Kovacs.
He looks over his shoulder at the woman and he says, Miss Kapoor and I are going to take some primary assessments of the ship. It appears to have sustained some very significant damage, and I have some reports to fill out.
I can't let you on board the vessel, as there is sensitive information that we are transporting.
He looks at you and he says, looks down at the ship and he's like, transporting sensitive information. The lease says cargo? Industrial primarily?
Well, yes, primarily, yes.
I'm going to ask you if I can see your manifest, please.
I'm afraid I don't have it on me.
I understand. These must be very difficult times for you and for the crew. Are you in need of medical assistance?
No. I think I've come out of this quite well, in fact.
Can we hear this?
I don't know.
We're not there.
Yeah, the two of you aren't there.
I'm not, like, open broadcasting. When I tried to, like, call out for the captain, I was just like, okay.
Well, but. I mean, just, I know it's been a long time, but I guess just, like, a, you know, an OOC to Steven, but, like, I'm pretty sure I hacked real hard to create a fake manifest, so.
Yeah?
Yes.
I don't remember. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean.
To get on this planet and land.
Okay.
Yes. I think I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Eric still doesn't want them on the ship or messing with anything, really.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you say to him? He's like, do you need any medical assistance? You're like, no, we're fine.
Yeah, I say, no. We have recovered adequately from the damage to our vessel and to ourselves.
The photographer says something to him in Hindi, and he turns and then looks at you and he says, one moment, please. And he walks over to her, and they're, like, very intently, like, looking up underneath the carriage of the ship, and she's pointing at something, and she's, like, pointing something out to him. And he looks at her and then looks at the pad and looks at her and shakes his head and, like, clucks his tongue. Yeah, like, looks back at you and then looks at her like he wasn't looking at you.
Can I see what they're looking at?
Like,
you know, yeah. if I sort of sidle over and I'm like,
sure, yeah. Okay. So you wanna wander over there? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're looking at some obvious hack job. Maybe you knew it was there but didn't get a chance to like do anything about it. The landing the landing gear on the ship on this model tends to deploy quite slowly, and someone has bypassed the hydraulic like limiters so that they like just drop out at full speed.
Right.
It lets you land a lot faster, yeah. But it's definitely not like it's an aftermarket adjustment. And you can see from this distance that, like, parts of it are, like, taped together. Like, there's hydraulic cabling with tape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I shake my head and I sigh and I say, the previous mechanic was really no good at all.
How long have you worked on this ship?
Oh, I've been on board the Swan Song for... How long has it been?
Right, like, it's been several months.
Yeah, for the last 6 months.
Yeah, he shakes his head and he says this, and he points like over to another like change and like another thing that's like some aftermarket thing. And he looks at you and he says, none of this is covered in the paperwork. I'm going to have to speak with Captain Kovacs as soon as possible. Please let him know that I was here. You have my card.
Yeah. You know, I nod. I say, yes, I understand, Mr. Patil. Now, of course, as the chief engineering officer on board the Swan Song now, I am in charge of all major repairs to the vessel, and I have been working very hard to undo some of the aftermarket adjustments that were made by the previous mechanic. I'm just as disappointed in this as you are.
He looks at you and he says, I understand how you engineering people like to get attached to your ships, but I think it's important for you to recognize that, and he like looks at it, in whatever shape it is in, technically, the Swan Song is still our property. Now, tell your captain to call me. Please, we have some very uncomfortable conversations to have.
And, yes, of course.
He turns and he looks at the woman, and she nods and he says, "All right, we are done here. Please do not leave the system." And he looks up at the ship and then looks back at you and then he's like, "Never mind."
No, of course not. I'll have Wilhelm call you right away.
What did you say? He looks at you.
The captain. Sorry? I'll have him call you right away.
Ah, yes, of course. He looks around and he says, if you decide you need to repair the ship, we have facilities. I'm getting ahead of myself. Have a good day. And he kind of like bows to you and walks away.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. So you are you're left alone with the still smoldering ruins of the Swan Song. Meanwhile, I guess over on the Fulminate Blade. So the Fulminate Blade is in. It's essentially like the power core has been unplugged. Like it's just dead. Like all the lights, everything inside. You have to use a flashlight to get around in there. It's been going through like cascading shutdown basically since Bowman died. So by the time we catch up with it, it's like just on the tiniest emergency power as the, it's running the system that's shutting the systems down, and that's all that's left.
Well, Piani, what were you looking to do on the ship?
Well, my thoughts are that if we potentially have to bail on the Swan Song, that we should consider what we might have to do to take this over. So specifically, I was probably interested in the computer systems, and suppose we just have to figure out how to turn it on in the first place. So we have to turn it on. Higgs, don't you know how to do that? You're a fucking ship captain, aren't you?
I just kind of like have a 1,000-yard stare past you rather than looking at you and walk over and hit the ignition button. I would assume there's one.
Yeah.
Because it's just that simple.
Oh. Yeah, it doesn't do anything, but clunk.
Then I just, well, I'm out of ideas. I don't know what this is. Pi was, have you seen Pi around at all? I was meaning to talk to it.
Him?
I mean, it's really an it if you think about it.
It's really a him if you talk to him.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not at all.
It is.
Well, this is an interesting conversation and all, but
yeah, why are you stalling? Fucking turn the ship on.
Well, you're the computer expert here. Just computer it. I don't know. That's why you're on the ship.
It kind of hears the computers if the fucking power's off. Eric.
Just a moment. We have someone here asking to speak to the captain.
Oh, yeah? Do I need to come over there?
No. Who is Victor Kovacs?
Well, that's the captain. That's, and I kind of look at Piani and I just kind of like roll my, that's,
I didn't just realize another, we had another crew member.
No, what? It's just another name. If I gave him my name, then it would trigger an alarm. So to speak.
Oh, it's an alias. Okay, I understand.
Yeah.
Should I call them back? They're going away now.
Well, I mean, how important did they look?
Excuse me, sir.
Hey, I asked
you. Yes, what?
Don't do that unless I ask you to do that.
Oh, no, never mind, sir. Everything's fine.
Please stop talking to them.
Please stop talking to them.
What were they asking about?
Oh, they're from Sunbeam Omnistellar. They seemed to have questions for Captain Kovacs about the Swan Song, and they said that it was technically their property. I don't know if that matters at all.
I mean, not really. Just what did they say they were going to come back? How were they going to contact him?
Well, I have his card for you.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, that'll. I'll come over and pick that up in a bit.
Okie doke.
Okay. Good talking to you, Eric. And I just roll my eyes at Peony.
I turn to Alfarious. I like Mr. Higgins.
Eric, he's your comms man. Still on. Please turn it off.
Click.
Eric and Alfarious talk for a while about how much they like you.
Yeah.
Great. And I have a conversation with Peony. I'm just like, well, how are we going to turn the, you know, I Pi had this ship working. Before it disappeared.
What?
Yeah, no, the ship was responding to. He was running diagnostics on it. It seemed to work, but I think maybe he, I don't know, put a hex on it or whatever those people do.
Well, I can't contact Pi from where we're at.
I assume, right? Yeah, no, all that happened, and this is where, like, things are starting to get a little weird with the Pi body thing, because Pi is still the swan song. You just call a swan song and be like, hey, Pi, what's up?
Okay, and you, Higgs, you meant that Pi was messing with the Folsom Blade? The Folsom Blade.
Yeah. Fulminate.
Fulminate Blade?
Yeah, as far as I remember, he was. So.
Well, did I know that, though?
No, I think that was information to you. Like, new information,
then,
rather.
Then, like, I guess I'm like, what the fuck do you mean he was messing with the ship?
Well, I don't know. Before you, when all the stuff was going on, he was over here and we were talking, and he controlled those robots, and, you know?
You notice one of the like, bots, because they've kind of just been, like, hanging around. One of the bots, like, turns its head and looks at Higgs.
I think there's this, like, moment where I kind of look at Higgs, and then I look around the ship, and in sort of this, like, I can't believe I'm doing this face, I'm like, Pi? Like, saying it out loud to see if the ship would just respond to me?
Your comms response. You get a signal, like a reply from the swan song.
Okay.
Yes, Piani.
Okay. I think there's, like, a kind of sigh of relief, and I'm like, Higgs said you are controlling the ship here.
Well, no, I said that he had one time had control. I don't.
No. I mean, you know, you might know how to turn it on.
Well, that's true. Yes.
Oh, yes. The systems are mostly shutting down. If you can get to it in time, there might be a failsafe.
Be like an engineer, like smart, you know, like Eric, not like Higgs, but. Someone who can, you know, knows what they're doing with the ship.
Unfortunately, the only person I can think of that would fit that capacity is dead. I think you might be able to do an okay job. One of the computer terminals in the subsystem should still be active. Check your pad. I've sent you a map.
Okay. I check out the map.
Okay. Yeah, it's a blueprint of a similar ship, if not the exact same ship.
Okay.
It looks like the terminal that Pi's highlighted is a maintenance terminal. You can get to it by going like you have to get under one of the bulkheads. There's an emergency hatch near the back.
I guess I look at Higgs and do you want to come with me?
Well, I mean, yeah, okay, sure. I don't know why, but yeah, I'll come.
Okay.
You lead though.
I lead. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Okay. Yeah, you if you follow the map into the back, there's like a closet. You like open up maintenance closet, and then at the bottom there's a hatch in the closet with like the black and yellow striped lines, the like caution lines, and then a little hinge you can pull up.
Okay, I pull on the hinge.
Okay, yeah, you give it a pull. I need you. You have a psychic power that warns you preemptively if you're about to be harmed, right?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. It is called.
So maybe this is a good part to go to go to our first break where we see Piani like reach down, grab the handle and pull it, and then suddenly there's the like sort of like psychic effects, the edges of the screen blur a little, as Piani's like, wait a second, this is not good. And then it fades. We get like an intense like string stab.
Wait,
and then
you don't, it goes to break. we don't get to see like what actually the outcome is?
No.
Not until after the jump.
Back. Yeah.
Fuck. Let's just say
we gotta fuck YouTube.
Just use this break to roll your character now, Marcus, and then we'll just
just get a new character.
Already got my not rolled, but already know it won't take long.
There you go. All right, let's take our first break. Come back. Still got 2 hours left to go, so we'll get over more roleplay swan song coming up right after this. We'll see you guys then.